You know, I can't remember a time where brethren have had more trials, and particularly health trials, than in the last 6 months to a year. I mean, you know, you go through times in life, but just so many people we're talking to that are going through these trials. You know, and you could look at it two ways. You could say it's the persecution on the saints, which it very well may be. Or you could say it's the purification of the saints, which it very well may be. And I want to give you today, I want to talk about faith and healing, and maybe in a perspective that you haven't looked at before. Maybe you have. But to kind of give you an overall perspective of the reason why sicknesses are allowed in our midst. Because I think sometimes we lose sight sometime in the flesh of what the Father's doing in the Spirit. And sometimes we have the wrong concept, you know, of why people are sick. You know, there was a time when I was in a church organization, and they used to kind of infer that if anybody was sick, they were doing something wrong. And I remember I was a landscaper, I was a young man, I fell off a ladder, basically broke my ankle, and I'm laying in my bed, you know, and the brethren are coming over to encourage me, and one of the men says, "Well, I just want you to know, this is only the beginning. You're going to go through a lot more," you know, and I'm thinking, "Wow, thanks for the encouragement." And I'm wondering how I'm going to do my work and do all these things. So I want to show you today that sickness, number one, it can be, and we'll talk a little bit about this, it can be a curse from a lifestyle that's coming, but in most cases it's not a curse, it's a test, as we're going to see. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to read 1 through 6. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 6. It says, "You shall take heed to do every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may live and may multiply and may go in and possess the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers. And you shall remember all the ways which Yahweh your Elohim has caused you to go these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, to try you, to know that which is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. And he has humbled you and caused you to hunger, and caused you to eat the manna which you had not known, and your fathers had not known, in order to cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. And you have known with your heart that as a man disciplines his son, Yahweh your Elohim disciplines you. And you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear." And I've said this in many messages before, that this whole life is nothing more than a test. It's a test of faithfulness. But because of the daily cares of life and the things that overweigh us, sometimes we forget that. You know, that there's nothing in this life that you're going through that is not simply just a test. The Father is offering us eternal life. And none of us have ever had eternal life. Matter of fact, not only eternal life, we've only had these few short years in the flesh that we've lived in these fleshly bodies. So the concept of eternal life is something that's very difficult for us to grasp. But if we are going to get this eternal life, to live world without end, where there will be no sickness, where there will be no sorrow, like we went over the other day in the kingdom, then he's got to test our faithfulness. And that's all these things are about. He has to see if we will rely on him for absolutely everything. James 1, James the first chapter. I'll read 1 through 9 and then drop down to verse 12. James 1 and verse 2. James 1 verse 2. It says, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience." How many of us, when we hit this type of trial, do we count it joy? You know, somebody was just telling me before the meeting that when they heard about 911, they said, "Praise Yahweh." Someone said, "Praise Yahweh? Why would you say praise Yahweh?" He said, "Hey, praise Yahweh that it wasn't a nuclear bomb and 2.5 million people aren't dead." Is our mind work that way? Are we thinking, praise Yahweh in every situation? Praise him for this opportunity that he's given me, so that I could learn more about him. Knowing that the proving of your faith works patience, which we all need to get. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask from Elohim, who gives to all freely with no reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being driven by the wind and being tossed. For do not let the man suppose that he will receive anything from Yahweh if he doesn't ask in faith. He is double-souled, not dependable in all his ways. So very clearly here. I mean, how many times do we come to the elders for anointing, you pray for healing, and 5 minutes later you're just talking about it. It's like, well, do you understand? Do you believe you were just healed? Are you grasping the healing? Are you believing in faith the power that Yahweh has? If you don't believe, no miracle can happen. And I'm telling you, if Yeshua was standing here, because it says in the Bible, in Nazareth, his own town, he was able to do no great work because of their unbelief. That's Yeshua himself. Except healing a few sick ones. Because of unbelief, even Yeshua in the flesh was not able to do any great work in his own hometown. Something to think about. Verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, because having been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which Yahweh promised to the ones loving him. So, the first thing I want to say is, as we're starting here, every sickness you have, every trial you have, is an opportunity from Yahweh. And that's the way you have to look at it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy to get through it. Some sicknesses are for life, in the flesh at least anyway. Some are for years. Some are for days and weeks. But every single sickness or trial is an opportunity to build your faith closer to Him. And we should be thanking Him for that, blessing Him for that, for those opportunities. Hebrews 12. Because, you know, sometimes people say, well, look at these people. They're ungodly, they're not believers, and they got all these things, and they have a lot of money. Why are they being so blessed? And I was saying yesterday, money and blessings don't always equal together. That's the Western way of looking at it. That money is always a blessing. Many times money and position and raise could be a curse. Because there's always give and take. Where you're grabbing here, you're going to lose here. But look at Hebrews 12. He says, Hebrews 12:1. So therefore, we also, having so great a cloud of witnesses lying around us, having laid aside every weight and the easily surrounding sin, through patience let us also run the race set before us, looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Yeshua, who for the joy set before him endured the tree, despising the shame, and sat down at the right of the throne of Elohim. For consider him who had endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that you do not grow weary, fainting in your souls. And some of these trials, I'm telling you, I know it ain't easy. I've had a problem with my arm for over 2 years, and sometimes I am starting to grow weary. And I read this and I get encouraged. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary, fainting in your souls. You did not resist unto blood, wrestling against sin. And I'm telling you, I don't know everyone in this room and every trial you've gone through, but I would guess none of us have gone that far. Have any of you actually shed blood to the overcoming of your trial? I mean, this is what it is. It's life and death. It's a battle here. And some of us, for the littlest things, we're like, oh, why is me? Why is me? I mean, man, I look around the world, and me and Petra always say this, no matter how bad things get, my life will never be as bad as 3/4 of the world. People that are starving to death. I mean, the children that you see that are basically their stomachs out to here from not eating. You know, the sicknesses, the diseases, AIDS, and all these other things. It's unbelievable. There's always somebody who's worse off than you are. Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which he speaks with them as with sons. My sons, do not despise the chastising of Yahweh, nor faint while being corrected by him. For whom Yahweh loves, he disciplines, and he whips every son whom he receives. So don't think you're being punished by going through this, you're being blessed. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, indeed, we have had fathers of our flesh as correctors, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits, and we shall live? For they truly disciplined us for a few days according to the things seeming good to them, but he for our profit, in order for us to partake of his holiness. And all discipline for the present indeed does not seem to be joyous, but grievance. but afterwards it gives back peaceable fruit of righteousness to the ones having been exercised by it. So very clearly, we should take joy, because you know what? The harder the trial, what is that telling you? The greater child of Yahweh you are. The ones that seem to be getting all these things in the flesh, what does it say? If they're not being corrected, they're not children. So perspective is a great part of sickness. Perspective is a great part of healing. Perspective is a great part of trial. You've got to keep your perspective and never, never, never lose faith. We have to realize that sometimes Yahweh's trying to teach us something through this sickness or trial. Like he says, is it patience? Do we need to learn patience? Do we need to learn faith? Do we need to learn to stop relying on ourselves and our own strength? Does he make us weak? I know with me, that's what it is a lot with me. I said the last couple of days, it took every ounce of my strength to come up here. I started preaching and I felt like I was floating on air. The minute I was done, I had to sit in a chair. I would have fell over. Teaches me something. It's not my strength. Yes. Not my strength?
Yes.
One time that happened to me. I pray every time before I speak. I pray to Yahweh and I say to him, Father, if there's anything that will hold me back from this message, please forgive me for the sake of the people that I could share your words with them. Please have mercy on my soul for their sake, because I know I need to teach. But one time I came up on my own, and I'm telling you, it was the worst experience of my life. I couldn't get words out of my mouth. I just kept fluttering over my words. I couldn't think. I couldn't come out. And I realized I never want to come to a podium again without Yahweh with me. Sometimes he's trying to teach us. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh. It's only by his strength that anything can be overcome. And I know sometimes people, their hearts might be right, but sometimes in sickness people will be so fervent, you know, and I know I'm going to get better, and I know I'm going to... By the grace of Yahweh, I'll get better. By the grace of Yahweh, I can do this. And sometimes that's the lesson he's trying to teach us. That it's only by him. We have to realize that we should love his correction. We should be happy at his correction. We should be joyful at his correction. Because every correction, every trial is what? It's bringing you one step closer to salvation. One step closer to the kingdom. Let's go to Proverbs, read a little Proverbs about this. Because one thing I'll say now, as far as healing goes, there has to be obedient spirit to get healing. Faith and obedience has to be present there if we're going to get healing. Faith and obedience. Proverbs 1, starting in verse 7. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear your father's instruction, and do not forsake the law, the Torah of your mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace to your head and chains for your neck. Fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. We have a whole message on the fear of Yahweh, and I'm telling you, that is something that is missing in the world today and even in the congregations. There is no fear to disobey Yahweh. And again, I said it before, it's Ecclesiastes 8. Because sentence is not executed speedily on an unrighteous deed, it's in the hearts of the souls of men to do wickedness continuously. And people will sit there and think, some even are young, are youth, hey, I don't care. I don't care. I'll tell you something. When the lake of fire comes and people are burning, they will care. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And people can be proud now saying, yeah, I don't care what happens. But they're only saying that because they're not being punished. That proud attitude can be whipped away very, very quickly by Yahweh. And it's not something we want to have. We want to make sure that we're yielding to his correction. Because remember, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't have the fear of Yahweh, there's nowhere to go from there. Proverbs 3. We'll stay in Proverbs a little bit. 1 through 12. He says, my son, do not forget my Torah, but let your heart keep my commandments. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Mercy and truth will not forsake you. Tie them on your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. fear Yahweh and depart from evil. Healing shall be to your navel and marrow to your bones. So we see the connection. Obedience and healing, very much connected. Honor Yahweh with your substance. Are we stealing from Him? Are we holding back our tithe? Are we giving Yahweh the 10%? Because we said it before. The earth is Yahweh's, the fullness thereof, the people and those who dwell with it. He's made a great deal with us. When we work, He allows us to keep 90%, but only if we give Him His 10. If we're holding back His 10, then actually all 100% is being stolen. The 90% only becomes ours when we give Him His 10%. So He says, honor Yahweh with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst with new wine. I hear people saying, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford it. We can't afford it. And I tell them, you can't afford not to tithe. Do you trust Him? He says it. And many of the reasons why people are having such financial problems is they're not tithing. Put Him to the test and tell Him, Father, I'm giving this 10% even though it makes no sense. Even though I can't pay the rent, I'm giving you what's yours, and you'll see how quick your financial situation will turn around. I could sit here a whole day and give you stories of miracles of people that's happened to. But remember, if you are sinning, if you are doing something against this judicial order, how are you going to get healing? You can't be doing something against this judicial order and expect Him to heal you. My son, do not reject the chastising of Yahweh, verse 11, and do not loathe His correction. For whom Yahweh loves, He corrects, even as a father corrects a son with whom he is pleased. One of the first things we teach the Bible school, a wise man loves correction, the fool doesn't want to hear it. The fool is the one that justifies himself before everyone. I don't need to learn anything. It's the wise one that loves it. Oh, I want correction. Give me more. Let me change. I want to be more like Yahweh. We have to decide. Do we want to be wise or do we want to be fools? But clearly, obedience is tied in with healing. It's connected together. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, let's go through 1 through 6. Sons, hear the instruction of a father. Pay attention to no understanding. For I give you good teaching. Do not forsake my Torah. For I was my father's son, tender and an only one in the sight of my mother. And he taught me and said to me, let your heart cling to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forsake and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. So very, very important. We've got to cherish, we've got to love the Father's words, His correction, and His commandments. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. Go through a few more things in Proverbs and then we'll move on. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. I want to ask you to ask yourself a question. Can we be corrected? Proverbs 13:1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner does not hear rebuke. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner does not hear rebuke. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 12. 12 through 14. Proverbs 23. Bring your heart in for instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from a boy, for if you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with a rod, and you shall deliver him from Sheol. So we see, you know, that there comes correction. And, you know, this sermon isn't on this subject, but sometimes people don't want to correct their children. It's showing love for your child. If you love your child, you will correct him. The same way Yahweh corrects us, because He loves us. You know, it's not that He's correcting us to punish us. He's correcting us to draw closer to Him. And I say, you know, if you look at the word for sacrifice in English, what does sacrifice mean? It means giving something up. But in Hebrew, the word korban, the word sacrifice, means to draw closer through relationship. Whole different meaning. And that's the key. The key is He's correcting us to draw us closer to Him, not to draw us away. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. And let's see what the Father says. Because you know something? Sometimes, to be poor, and not real poor, I don't mean begging like David said, you know, don't make me too poor that I beg or too rich that I forget you. But sometimes to be, what you could say, middle class, or to have a little bit of sickness or whatnot, sometimes it's a real blessing. Because we're going to see, Yahweh doesn't caution the Israelites not to forsake him when they're sick. He doesn't caution them not to forsake them when they're poor. But we're going to see, he's cautioning them when everything is good, is the caution not to forget him. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 7. For Yahweh your Elohim brings you into a good land, a land of streams of water. You're getting to see all these things. In the next few days we'll see a lot more. And fountains of depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. A land of wheat and barley and figs and vines and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. And we went over that the other day, a lot of these things. A land in which you shall eat bread without want. You shall not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron. And you shall dig copper out of the mountains. Some years we go down to all the way to the south, to the copper mines of Solomon, that are down all the way down toward Elot in that area. Deuteronomy 8:10. And you shall eat and be satisfied, and you shall bless Yahweh your Elohim in the good land which he has given to you. Now here comes the warning, verse 11. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget Yahweh your Elohim, so as not to keep his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. That when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built goodly houses, and have lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold have multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then it rises up in your heart, and you forget Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slaves, who led you through the great and dreadful wilderness with burning serpent and scorpion and thirsty ground where no water is, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who made you eat manna in the wilderness, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might prove you. Everything is a test. To do good at your latter end, that you not say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. That's the Laodicean. Not only is he rich and increased with goods, but he has made himself rich. But you shall remember Yahweh Elohim, for it is he who gives to you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. And it shall be, if you shall forget Yahweh Elohim, and walk after other Elohim, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that perishing you will perish. As the nations that Yahweh makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you did not listen to the voice of Yahweh Elohim. 9-1-1. Perfect example. After 9-1-1, that very next week, there were more people in churches, they say, than ever before. Mm-hmm. Within 1 month, there were less people in churches than before 9-1-1. And face it, during the good times, that's what it is. When panic comes, then everybody's worried, and what's going to happen? As soon as the panic leaves, what happens? Back to the good times. Let the good times roll. And it is a blessing that the Father brings trials in our life so this doesn't happen to us. We don't want this to happen to us. We don't want to forget him. We don't want to get to thinking we're doing things on our own might. And trials and sicknesses sometimes are there to keep us humble. And I thank him for that. Because I know every now I need that little smack on the back. You know, you need that little wake-up call. You need that little reminder. And I thank him. I thank him that he loves me enough that if I'm veering off a little bit, he's giving me these reminders as a way to build my faith in him and a way to caution me not to forget him. Sometimes sickness is a blessing to keep us humble. Sometimes sickness is a blessing to keep us humble. And some of the brethren here were watching a movie yesterday, The Robe. Does anybody here ever see that movie, The Robe? We've shown it before. It's a really interesting movie because it's a movie from over 50 years ago with Richard Burton and Victor Mature. And it's interesting because this is about the Roman centurion who put the sword into Yeshua, you know, and when the blood and the water gushed out. And it's an interesting movie because he was the one that they cast the lots and he got the robe. And he felt like this robe was bewitching him because he was going out of his mind, and he didn't realize he was going out of his mind because his conscience was guilty because he was being convicted. So they sent him over to this area of Israel, and he was acting like an undercover person, like as a merchant. And he was trying to get the names of believers to send back to Rome so that they can arrest all these people and have them crucified. And as he's going through the village of believers, he's getting more and more convicted, and it's getting him angrier. You know, and then eventually he actually becomes a believer. But the interesting part was, they're telling stories about Yeshua. And there was one boy, you know, one of the heads of the community was, he had a grandchild, and he said he was born with a crippled leg. And then, you know, the man sees this kid playing ball and running around. He says, "I thought you said he was born with a crippled leg." And he said, "That was before Yeshua came." And he couldn't understand it. And other people were telling the miracles, you know, of what happened. It was actually supposed to be Cana, you know, where the wine miracle happened. So he goes up to this woman then, because he's really getting frustrated, and there was a woman who was in the community who was crippled. And she's sitting there, she played the harp beautiful. I mean, just beautiful music from the harp. And now he's getting mad, and he's saying, curse him, go ahead, curse Yeshua. Why didn't he heal you? He says, "Why are you still crippled then if he's really the Messiah?" And she says, "You don't understand." She said, "The day he came into our community, I was bitter and I was angry that I was crippled." She said, "The fact that my legs don't work, it doesn't mean I wasn't healed." She said, "Since that time, I play my music to his glorification every day of my life." And I say this for a reason, that are we glorifying Yahweh through our infirmities? Because to the world, it doesn't make sense. But think about it. To the crippled woman who plays the harp, you know, to the person who maybe is blind and doesn't see, to the person who's having a sickness that they're, whatever it is, a cancer. If we can glorify Yahweh through our infirmities, what a witness we are to others. And I'll tell you, another reason why he allows sickness is because there's always somebody else out there who's not converted yet that has the same thing. And it's a way that we can witness to somebody else. And I can go up to somebody that could be crippled, and I could have sympathy with them, and I could share with them that in the kingdom they're not going to be crippled, and in the kingdom they're going to walk for eternity. But you know what? They could be encouraging words, but somebody else who's crippled can give them empathy. Somebody else who's crippled can give what I can't give. It's the same way sometimes as a man. There's things that only a woman can share with another woman, or a man can share with another man. And the point is, we go through some of these things to share with people. And sometimes people say, "How could Yahweh have allowed, you know, this abuse to have happened here? Or this, you know, that he allowed this wife to be beaten by her husband?" There's a lot of people out there in the world that are getting beaten by their husbands. And that believer now, not to make it right, but that believer that was strong enough that Yahweh allowed that to happen, she has a ministry now to battered women. Every single thing you are going through in your infirmity is a ministry to people who are out there that need to come to the truth. And many of these people that have the infirmities, they're not coming to the truth because they're bitter. They're bitter because of what they're going through in life, and you could take that bitterness away. So I say, you have two choices. You could sit there like the world and you could sulk. Woe is me. Look at my leg. Look at my head. Look at this. Look at my cancer. Or like little Edna here. You know? She refuses to accept it. You got scoliosis. You ain't gonna walk. She refuses to accept it. And she comes here and she waves the flags and she dances. And she has been an encouragement to every one of us in this room. Do we agree? To the glory of Yahweh.
Yes.
To the glory of Yahweh.
Yes.
But each one of us should be that way. Mm-hmm. Each one of us, whatever we are going through, it's only temporary and it's only to help somebody else. That's the key. Are we glorifying Yahweh through our infirmity? The Bible says through all things. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not only in the good times. You know, when we were driving here, people were saying the one day, I think when we were going to Hebron, how barren this is. And I said, it's not always this way. Come here in December, January, February, March, you'll see all this land is green as anything.
Yeah.
But we go through hills and valleys. We go through highs and lows. We go through barren and green. But in all, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's there. He's there in the green pasture, and he's there in the so-called yellow pasture. But yellow pasture could be good grain. You know, I mean, horses and animals, they love that good yellow grain. So don't think just because it's a yellow pasture that it's barren land. It could be some of the best grain possible. But we have to glorify Yahweh in everything. You know, when you really think about it, in a way, every one of us is handicapped. You know, in the kingdom, we're going to be spirit beings. You could think and you could be in China. You'll walk through walls. You're not going to be bound by this flesh. So every one of us, in that sense, now we're handicapped. We're handicapped by fleshly bodies. There's things every one of us would like to do that our body holds us back from. And the older we get, we're more handicapped. You know, I can't do what I could do 10 years ago. You know, 10 years from now, I won't be able to do what I'm doing today. So every one of us, in one way or another, are handicapped in our body. So we're not praying to Yahweh to become a spirit today. Did anybody ask for anointing to become a spirit this afternoon? So why should it bother us if we have a little infirmity in the flesh? And that doesn't mean we don't ask for anointing and for healing, because, face it, the better our bodies are, the more we could serve Him. But the point is, if He's chosen to leave that infirmity with us today, we got to say, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. If I got to hop along here for the next 6 months, I'm going to hop, hop, hop to the glory of Yahweh. You know, if my shoulder, I was saying this, I've had problems with my shoulder for 2 years. The Father hasn't completely healed me. But I'll tell you something, when it first happened, if I so much as winked, I was in pain like you couldn't believe. I went 4 months without sleeping, maybe an hour a night. And the day that I was able just to lift my hand like this, I cried, because now I can praise Him again, that I can lift my hands. And if I never get 100% movement with it, so be it. So be it. Because I know in the kingdom, I'm not going to have a bum shoulder. I know I'm healed already. He's already healed me. Whether my arm knows it or not, that's up to my arm. I know I'm healed. And I know it's not going to restrict me in my service to Yahweh. Let's go to John 9. Because, like I said, sometimes people think that a sickness is coming because of disobedience or something you're doing wrong. But like I said, sometimes Yahweh is allowing you the sickness so you can glorify Him. Sometimes He's allowing you the sickness because you're strong enough to go through that sickness. John 9 and verse 1. And passing by, he saw a blind man from birth, and the disciples said to him, saying, Teacher, who sinned, this one or his parents, that he was born blind? Yeshua answered, Neither this one nor his parents sinned, but that the works of Elohim might be revealed in him. Sometimes there's not a reason why it would happen to you. You know, we always want to figure it out. If I only did this a little different, if I only wasn't up there. Sometimes so the works of Yahweh can be manifested. So don't hold this overriding guilt. Even if it's a situation, maybe you did something, you hurt another person accidentally, and you think, oh, if we could only take it back. No! Everything has a reason why it happens. And sometimes the only reason why you might have had this illness is so the works of Yahweh can be manifested. I say sometimes in congregations, if everybody was rich, like I said yesterday, everyone might be so self-focused, a sickness can bring everyone toward a common goal. I pray every day in my life that Yahweh's people would be united in spirit and united in prayer. Well, when somebody's sick, nobody's arguing with that. Everyone at once is praying in their rooms together for the same exact thing to Yahweh. How beautiful is that? But it's not always like that. A lot of times when there's divisions and fightings, we're all praying differently. So sickness sometimes, or a trial, can unite us as a people. And sometimes it's the strongest that He allows to go through it. Because a weak brother or sister, remember, He says, I'll never give you more than you can handle. And some days I thought, wow, I got to be right at the top of that mountain. Because I don't think I could take more than this. But it's a promise. I will never give you more than you can handle. And sometimes the one that's going through it is the strongest brother or sister. You look at someone like a Helen Keller. You know, deaf, blind, and dumb. And amazing what that lady did in her life for other people. To actually not only learn to read and to do these things, to actually open up a school and to teach people around the world to do it. So never think your infirmity can stop you from serving Yahweh. It can actually enhance your service to Him. Because sometimes, you know, if we have someone in here, a real handicapped person, you know, somebody who's different, a lot of people times magnify toward it. If you see someone in a wheelchair, someone like this, and that person has a choice. They can either grab pity or they can give glory.
Right.
And it lifts me up when I see somebody that's like that, that is going against the odds and glorifying Yahweh and doing the things in his life and being a productive servant of Yahweh even though they have infirmities in their life. Our trial gives others opportunity to intercede on our behalf. Our trial gives others opportunity to intercede on our behalf. So it's a blessing sometimes. It's a blessing that we're giving others an opportunity to intercede for us. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Brothers, if a man is overtaken in some fault, you, the spiritual ones, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, in considering yourself, that you do not also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of the Messiah." So we're commanded, we have to bear one another's burdens. And it's hard in the world we live in, because all of us have so many of our own burdens. You know, it's like, you got to throw another one on the back, though. But it's a command to keep our minds on each other, and on Yahweh, and on His work, that we're commanded that we have to bear one another's burdens. So, by being able to go through this trial, and to be positive in the trial, you're actually giving the brethren an opportunity to intercede on your behalf. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. You know, on the other side, when people are terminally ill, when it's something like a cancer or something that... And I've seen people terminally ill that were healed. But face it, nobody had more faith than Peter and Paul and John, and they're all laying in the grave waiting for the resurrection. It's accounted for all men once to die and then the judgment. And you know something? If it's the point in our life where we lived a good life and we fought the good fight and it's ready for us to sleep and wait for the resurrection, we have to accept that. We have to accept that as human beings, in the flesh, we're not going to live forever. And it shouldn't worry us. It shouldn't fear us. You know, look what Isaiah 57, 1 and 2 says. "The righteous perishes and no one lays it to heart. Yea, merciful men are gathered, and no one discerning that the righteous is gathered from the face of evil. He shall enter peace. They shall rest on their couches, walking in uprightness." And I wonder sometimes, why do brethren want to survive the worst time the world will ever know? It says the days that are coming, it's the worst time the world will ever know and ever will be. And wouldn't it be a blessing? You know, again, I'm not saying everyone go out and commit Harry Carey. But I'm saying, wouldn't it be a blessing if you lived your life and it was the Father's time to take you, and you could put a smile on your face and rest in that grave for the resurrection. The twinkling of an eye. See, Thessalonians says, we don't mourn like the world mourns. We mourn. Doesn't say we don't mourn. We don't mourn like the world mourns. Because we know the power in the resurrection. We know the power of eternal life. And if it's the Father's time, if we live a life of righteousness, and it's the time for us to rest, so be it. I look at my grandmother. She was 93 years old when she passed away. And basically what we say is, she did everything and she just ran out of time. She was the matriarch of our family and everybody loved her. I mean, it was from the time we were kids. She had, whatever it was, something like 80 grandchildren, 130 great-grandchildren, 15 children. We have a big family picnic every year. And she really was almost like the queen of the Esposito family. But her time came. You know, and it was sad when she died, but her memory goes on. Her memory goes on forever, and that's the thing. It's not so much at what point we go, what did we do while we're living? We're going to talk about this in the leadership at the Bible school quite a bit. You know, what is your legacy? That's what matters. You know, the Apostle Paul, man, he didn't have such a great life, especially as a believer. At least 2/3 of it was in prison, lonely, afraid. But look now, the letters he wrote are a testimony to every one of us for the last 2,000 years. So, if that's the case, if there is something where Yahweh is saying, look, I'm blessing you to allow you to rest to the resurrection, don't fight it. If it's our relatives, you know, don't fight it. Talk to them. Tell them how much you love them. Hold their hand. Let them die in dignity. It's not something that we have to fear. We mourn, but we don't mourn as the world does. And I believe what most are calling faith is nothing more than a hope. It's nothing more than hope. In some cases, it's pride. Faith in themselves, faith in their own existence, faith in, like I said, I've seen people say, oh, I know I'll be healed. I have no doubt, I know I'll be healed. And some of them, I attended their funeral not far after that. And I say that faith is not knowing we will be healed now, it's knowing we can be healed. See, when I hurt my shoulder, I prayed to Yahweh every day for I don't know how many weeks. And then when I realized it wasn't His will to heal me at this moment, I stopped praying for it. And then I started to pray, Father, teach me what You're trying to teach me through this. And please give me the strength to get through it. But if there's a reason why, He could heal me immediately. And if there's a reason why He wasn't, the next thing is, let me find out why I'm going through it. See, as human beings, right away, the first thing we want is just the pain to get away. Mm-hmm. But that's not always what His will is. So like I say, faith is not knowing you will be healed the second, but faith is knowing you can be healed. And it takes a lot more faith to go through a trial for a long time where the healing hasn't come than if you're just healed in a second. Like it says in the Bible, you know, if hope that's already fulfilled, it's not hope anymore if you already have it. We don't know what Yahweh's will is. We don't know why Yahweh gives us something. We don't know at what point He's going to heal us. And that's why everything we say, what do we say? Yahweh willing. We say Yahweh willing. We say Yahweh willing. And we know it is His will to heal us. And I'm going to read here in a little bit. It's His promise to heal us. So I'll leave you with that at the end, that you can actually, you know, bring Him to that promise. But when He does the healing is up to Him. When He takes the physical pain away is up to Him. And who are we as His creation to demand, you heal this leg, or you heal this arm, or you heal this head now? You know, like the old saying, Father, give me patience now. Not the way it works. Not the way it works with Yahweh. If He's blessing us, if He's giving us the blessing of an opportunity to glorify Him through an infirmity, that's what we want to find out. We want to find out, how can I glorify Him through this, what I'm going through? Exodus 34, because I want to show another reason sometimes why we're not healed. Sometimes we're not healed because there's generational curses that are coming upon us. And Exodus 34:7 says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and not leaving entirely unpunished, visiting the iniquity of our fathers on sons and on sons' sons to the third and the fourth generation. So sometimes, unbeknownst to us, and I said, sickness, cancers, alcoholism, divorce, all these things are generational curses that will go from generation to generation unless we break them. Now again, we said this before, as believers, Galatians 3, Yeshua became a curse so that we don't have to be that curse. You can break that generational curse, but you have to be aware of it. Galatians 3.13. We'll go over this. Galatians 3.13. It says, the Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone having been hung on a tree. Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as is written, cursed is everyone hung on a tree. So, Yeshua became a curse so that we can break that curse. And there's three things you have to do if you want to break this curse. Number one, you have to repent. You have to repent for whatever was causing this curse. And whether it's the repentance for the fathers before you or the repentance of you, you have to repent for whatever was causing this generational curse to come down. The second thing you have to do is you have to replace. You have to replace what was happening. Let's just take something simple like smoking. You know, you wind up getting cancer and it's from smoking cigarettes. So what's the first thing you do? You repent to Yahweh for bringing something into your temple that is destroying it, the cigarettes, and now you have to replace. Right? Smoking isn't that easy to break of a habit, and people will tell you that. I've never smoked, but people that do. So what you have to do is you have to take the bad habit and replace it with a good habit. You know, whatever time you're going to smoke, you thought to smoke, you know, maybe you chew sugarless gum or you recite scripture every time you feel like smoking, whatever it is. You have to replace the bad habit with the good habit, and you have to restore what was lost. You have to restore what was lost. In situations, if it's robbery, if stealing or something caused the curse, you repent of what you did, you replace the good with the bad, and you restore, you restitute what was gone. So three things. You have to replace, you have to repent, you have to restore. And then you can ask for the healing. Then you can say, Father, it doesn't mean, like I said, that you're going to live to be 999 years old, but the forgiveness is what's important. The forgiveness is what's important. Because remember what happened when they asked Yeshua, that there was a crippled man there, and what happens? He says, your sins be forgiven you. And you're thinking to yourself, who is this man? Only Yahweh can forgive sins. He says, what is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or get up and walk. But that you may know the Son of Man is able to forgive sins, I say to you, take up your mat and walk. So it's showing us that all sickness does come from sin. It can be Adam and Eve's sin, or great-great-grandfather's sin, or our own sin, or even just the world around us. Secondhand smoke. You know, people get cancer and die from secondhand smoke. So ultimately, all sickness does come from sin, not necessarily ours. So what we want to do is we want to replace whatever was causing that to happen. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And this is the biggie now. This is the biggie that comes with getting your healing. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that He is, and that He becomes a rewarder to those seeking Him out. You have to have faith in Yahweh. And I say, you know, when I read this scripture, every time I think about it, and I say, anybody that really believed this, anybody that really had faith in Yahweh, and that you believe He's going to reward you for everything you do for the kingdom, there's no way you'll work 40, 50, 60 hours in the world for green papers with dead dignitaries and 1 hour a week for Him. If you do, you can't believe this. Because there's two things. If you're giving the majority of your time and effort towards Satan's system just for money and very little toward Yahweh, either you don't believe this scripture or we got to be the stupidest people in the world. You know, how many people, if I had a gold coin up here that was worth $10,000, and I asked you for $5, I'll trade you for it, or your pencil. You give me your pencil, I'll give you this $10,000. How many people are not going to make that trade? Of course you are. And here's Yahweh saying to you, what He's offering you, eternal life in the land with Yeshua as a king of the universe, co-owner of the universe. And we say, yeah, it sounds really good, but I need to go make my widgets for my $9.67 an hour. What is it? What is it? That's why I say, what a lot of people are calling faith is more of a hope. We hope there's a kingdom, we hope there's this, but if you really believe, like it says, if you believe with all your heart, you'll serve Him with all your mind and all your strength. You have to believe. You have to believe. And it takes a lot more belief. Well, after you've been prayed for and you know you're healed, but the leg still ain't moving. You know you're healed, but your eyes still don't see. You know you're healed and you still feel that cancer inside. That's where the faith comes in. It takes more faith to believe you can be healed than you will be healed. But I can guarantee you this. If our faith is in that kingdom, which is just an inch away, here we are, we're at the top of the mountain, we're looking over the top. If our faith is there, I can guarantee you 110%, not one of us will enter that kingdom lamed. Not one of us will enter that kingdom blind. Not one of us will enter that kingdom crippled. You will enter whole. You know, when the children of Israel, when they left the wilderness, It tells us in the Bible that Yahweh strengthened their legs, that none of their legs were feeble. And you look, that means literally strengthened. The old, the crippled, whatever they were, the children, everyone's legs were strengthened, that they walked day and night without ever getting tired. Is it the same one we serve? You know, we're coming down to crunch time when you're in the wilderness. 3 days we haven't eaten. My throat's getting scratchy. Do you believe water can come out of that rock? That's the one thing I got out of those films we were watching on the miracles of Israel, when the man said, if he parted the Red Sea and did all these things in ancient time, couldn't he do it today? Isn't he the same yesterday, today, and forever? And that's why we can praise him in our infirmity. And that's why we can praise him in our sickness. Because we know we are not walking into the kingdom with it. And sometimes he'll take it away immediately, sometimes in a day, in a week. But sometimes you might have to have the scar of your sickness. I call them scars because you're already healed. If you've been prayed for, you're healed. So whatever you're feeling, it's just a scar. You know, you ever cut your arm or something, you see a scar? The heel is there, but you see the scar. And sometimes he leaves those scars for what?
Remembrance.
He leaves the scars so we don't forget. So my arm is healed, praise Yahweh. And if I got a little scar, I still got to remember something. And when the day comes that I don't need to remember it anymore, I'll be lifting up chairs again. Same with you. Whatever it is, you're healed. You have to believe it. I'm going to go to Psalm 103. Excuse me. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all within me bless His holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with kindness and tender mercy, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. It's a promise. He can't lie. It's a promise and he can't lie. When you go to judicial water and you go to the elders of the church and you ask for forgiveness and you're anointed with oil, you are healed. And like I said, if the scar is there, don't worry about it. Because scars sometimes do last for life, but sometimes scars do leave. And like I said, that scar can leave immediately. I've seen everything from people that were dead that were resurrected back to life, even here in the land of Israel. I told you, I prayed for a man one time that had cancer. They told him 30 days to live, and immediately when I prayed, the man was healed. And I've seen it. I've seen a lot of miracles, but not every time. I mean, I prayed for thousands and thousands of people in my time in ministry, and not everyone was immediately healed. But that's up to Yahweh. The healing is there, but the scar, you know, doesn't always get taken away right away. And that's what we got to put that promise in. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm doing great, I'm healed. Well, I still got a little scar, but it's going, it's leaving. Because I trust in Yahweh. I trust in Him. And like I said, we know we are not going to enter the kingdom with anything like that. Let's go to Mark 10. And I'm going to show you, though, how you have to have this faith. I want to give you a little Hebraic roots of this story in Mark 10. Mark 10 and verse 46. Mark 10 and verse 46. And they come into Jericho, Mark 10, verse 46. And they come into Jericho, and he and his disciples and a large crowd, having gone out from Jericho, a son of Timaeus Bartimaeus the blind, sat behind the highway, begging. And hearing that it was Yeshua the Nazarene, he began to cry out and to say, Son of David, Yeshua, have mercy on me. And many warned him that he be quiet, but he cried all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And standing still, Yeshua said to him to be called. And they called the blind one, saying, Be comforted, rise up, he calls you. And throwing away his garment, rising up, he came to Yeshua. And answering, Yeshua said to him, What do you desire that I should do? And the blind one said, Master, that I may see again. And Yeshua said to him, Go, your faith has healed you. And instantly he saw again and followed Yeshua in the highway. Now the interesting part of this story, when you put your Hebraic mindset on, I don't know if you knew this or not, but in the days of Yeshua, it wasn't legal for just anyone to go in the street and beg. Literally, you had to get sanctioned by the government to legally to go out and beg. And you know what they gave the person that was sanctioned? It was called a beggar's coat. It was a coat they gave him that legally allowed him with that can to go out and beg. And it's interesting, when it says when he was called for, what was the first thing he did? He took his coat and threw it away. Shows you the faith. Shows you the faith, right? Because if he wasn't healed, what would have happened? He was blind. He wouldn't have found his coat again. It was gone. He had to throw away the crutch before Yahweh would heal him. And sometimes, not always, there's a crutch we're holding on to that may be holding back our healing. And you know something? There's a time for doctors, there's a time for medicines, there's a time for herbs, there's a time for oils. But there's a time sometimes to throw those crutches away and say, Yahweh, heal me. Heal me. Like I said, I'm not against any of them. There's a time for all of them. But there's a time that some of these things can be a crutch to us that's holding back our healing. And there comes a point where, you know, I'll give a little testimony that Clifford told me before he came here. That he went to the doctor and he said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not taking this medicine. And the doctor was really angry, Clifford said. And Clifford said, either Yahweh's going to heal me or Yahweh's going to take me. But I'm not doing this anymore. And I say, praise Yahweh.
Yes.
Praise Yahweh. There comes a point sometimes in our life where that's what it comes down to. And I went through the same thing with my arm. Because they told me if I don't take, what was that stuff called?
Cortisone. Steroids.
Yeah. He said, you don't understand how serious this is. You don't take immediately steroids in your arm. He said, you will never have movement of that arm again. And that it can go into gangrene. You could lose your arm. And I went home and I looked at that box and there was something that happened that the Father showed me, and I said to Petra, I took that thing and I threw it in the garbage. And I said, if I lose my arm, it'll be the will of Yahweh, and if I move my arm, it'll be the will of Yahweh, but I'm not taking this poison. I am not going to take this poison that I know is going to destroy me. And like I said, there's a time for some of these things. Cortisone and steroids is poison. I mean, it will mess you up. There comes a point that we have to think, are we using some of these things for crutches? There comes a point where you have to throw away that coat and trust in Him before the healing is going to come. And that's the faith. Because it's, you know, when you get in this faith issue, it's not just the healing. It's eternal life. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And without faith, you're not going to enter the kingdom. What did I read in James? The person who doubts, he's double-minded in all his ways, and nothing will be given to him. There's two generations that totally lose out on salvation. And Sodom and Gomorrah is not one of them. I mean, he said, woe to you, Chorazin. It'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in judgment day than you. So we know some in Sodom and Gomorrah even are going to make the kingdom. But there's two generations that will, most people will lose salvation. You know what they are? The children of Israel in the wilderness, I swore in my wrath they will not enter my rest in our generation. Whoever takes the mark of the beast goes to the lake of fire, and all the earth took the mark of the beast. Two generations in Scripture. And we happen to live in one of them. And why is that? Because they're the only two generations that physically saw the manifestation of Yahweh and rejected it. The children of Israel saw with their eyes. They saw the darkness over here to the Egyptians and the light over here. They saw the frogs over here and nothing over here. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. And still, they did not believe. We're living in the time the same thing. We are seeing Yahweh's manifestation with our eyes. There's a time very shortly where we'll see Elijah come. We'll see the two witnesses. We'll see fire come from heaven. We're seeing these things. We know about them. And still, we don't believe. What will it take? What will it take? And I look at that scripture in Luke 18. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Scary. Because we're the generation that He's saying that. He will come to a faithless generation where most will perish. But it doesn't have to be you and it doesn't have to be me. But we've got to believe. We've got to believe. We have to start believing him. And the time to believe, like he said, you know, it's the time to believe is when you need him, when you're calling him, you've got to believe his promises. And when he says, I'll heal you, believe he'll heal you. And whether that means he'll resurrect you and heal you, or whether that means you're going to throw away your beggar's coat and see again. You've got to have faith that either way, whether we sleep or whether we live to that day, we're both going to be there together. We've got to believe this. Got to believe this. The other point about judicial order in healing, James 5, 13 through 16. Just go through that quickly. And it ties into all of this. James 5, 13 through 16. Does any suffer ill among you? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him praise in song. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the assembly and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahweh. And the prayer of faith will save those being sick, and Yahweh will raise him up. And if he has committed any sin, it will be forgiven him. Confess to one another the offenses from the Torah and pray for one another that you may be healed. Very strong is a righteous petition being made effective. So we see again, like I said, essential oils, herbs, wonderful things. We take them. My wife is very knowledgeable in these things. But never forget, spiritually speaking, judicial order. We want to go to the elders of the church. We want to ask Yahweh for his anointing. And then whatever we have to do on our part, we want to do, of course. But we never want to leave this part out of it. We never want to just seek the physical and leave out the spiritual. We want to make sure we're doing both things. You know, the issue of healing and the issue of faith go hand in hand. And it's important that we understand that, like I said, if without the faith, the healing will never come. And it's easy to say it beforehand. The hard part is when you're in that situation. You know, you're in the hospital and it comes, do you do the operation or don't you? And there's a time where operations are fine. I'm not against any operation. But I'm just saying there comes a point where you're in that situation that you've got to make a quick decision that could be your life and death. And that's really where faith comes in. You know, that's not when we're sitting in a room and talking about what happens if. It comes down when you have to make that decision, and you're making the decision through faith. That's important. But one thing I want to say about faith, because sometimes I see people who claim they have faith, and yet really what you see is it's a lot of self-righteousness. Because faith isn't, you know, we've had people come to Israel and they have no money whatsoever. And they say, oh, I'm coming here in faith, and all they do is pawn off everybody else. And that's not faith. See, Romans 14:22, what does it say? Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before Yahweh. Blessed is the one not condemning himself on what he approves. So I just want to make the point with faith is not at the expense of others. If you have faith, have it between you and Yahweh. If I have faith to be healed and I don't go to a doctor, let it be between me and Yahweh. Don't let me condemn another brother or sister who may go to a doctor. Because that is self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness for me to say, if you go to a doctor, you're this and that. How do I know? I mean, Luke was a physician. Everything has a purpose, everything has a time. So if you have faith, like it says here, have it between yourself and Yahweh. Don't use your faith as a road to let Satan build self-righteousness in you against another brother or sister. And like I said, for people that are calling it faith and continuously just going around to the congregations pointing off people, that's not faith. You know, the Bible says there's a time to give and there's a time to receive. And every one of us, if you've never received from somebody, then you're self-righteous. If you, no, I can't take a gift. Because you know what? Every time someone's giving a gift, someone's receiving a gift. And if someone is giving, they're going to get a blessing. If somebody gives me a dress, I can't wear a dress. But I wouldn't turn their blessing down. What I would do is take the dress and see who needs it. So never take away somebody's opportunity to be blessed. But at the same rate, you always don't want to be the giver, and you always don't want to be the receiver. With faith, sometimes you're giving, sometimes you're receiving. It depends. There's a time for everything. Time to receive, a time to give. So make sure that your faith is not inconveniencing somebody else. And whether that's through healing or not, we want our faith to be between us and Yahweh. We don't want our faith to be self-righteousness to other brethren. Because you know something? If somebody doesn't have the faith to throw away their medicine, then why would you want them to? Do you want them to die? You want them to throw that medicine in the garbage when they haven't built the faith yet? Who are we to make those decisions in other people's life? Let each be approved by Yahweh. Let each person decide. Let each person by his own faith be between him and Yahweh. But let's not use healing and faith as a way to start condemning and judging each other. That's what happened in many church organizations before. What we want to do is, we want to lift up the brother who may not have the faith yet, you know, to do that. What happened with the man that came to Yeshua? When he said, if you only have faith. And he said, Master, I have faith. Help me in my unbelief. See, he had some faith, but he didn't have enough faith. He had enough faith to ask Yeshua. And he said, where I lack, Master, help me in my unbelief. And every one of us is there, because I'm telling you something. Faith is something that none of us have 24/7. Faith is something that the Holy Spirit inspires you when you need it. And it's something that we can share with others. But each one of us, where we lack, we say, Master, help me with my unbelief. So we don't want to use it as a way to condemn our brothers or sisters. Let's go to Hebrews 11, last chapter, scripture here. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If my arm, if they're going to take an x-ray of my arm and they see a tear, and I tell the doctor, no, I went to the elders, I've been prayed for, I'm healed. I'm healed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not being seen. What is the evidence? The doctor will say, what evidence that you're healed? I see the tear. You know what the evidence is? Psalm 103. He forgives all our iniquity. He heals all our diseases. I'm healed. Praise Yahweh. Say it loud. Rejoice. Dance. Clap. You've got to claim that healing if you want to feel that healing. And you can't let that scar destroy your life. And that's what I would say to the doctor. You might be seeing a little scar there where I was sick before, but I'm healed. How do you know you're healed? Well, I went to the elder, and the elder prayed for me. And Yahweh, let me show you in Yahweh's word where it says it. And you know something? Until this scar disappears, you're going to see the happiest person you ever had. You're going to have the happiest patient here. Let us be a witness. Like I said, every situation, whether it's a trial or a sickness, every situation is to be a witness before Yahweh. And how we could be joyful in our trials and our sicknesses, I'm telling you, it's contagious. It's contagious. It's like smiling. You know, you ever go into stores and you wonder, boy, you know, people are always nasty and they always give me the change begrudgingly. Try going into a store and just smiling at somebody. Even if they're always nasty, keep smiling until they smile and they'll do it. They have to, you know? They'll do it. Just try smiling at everybody you meet in the street. It's amazing what can happen. Drop down to verse 13. These all died, by the way, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off and being persuaded, and having embraced and confessed that they were aliens and tenants on the earth. The greatest men that ever lived, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, Peter, Paul, all of them died without receiving the promises. Verse 39, and having obtained witness through the faith, these all did not obtain the promise. Yahweh having foreseen something better concerning us, that they should not be perfected apart from us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Whether it's the crippled man from John 9, the blind man in John 9, or whether it was the crippled man from Jericho, whether it's people we know that are laying in the ground now that died of different illnesses, or whether it's us sitting in the chairs, all of us will be perfected together on the day of resurrection. And that's why we sit here today. We sit here today because of faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not being seen. I'm not sitting here telling you fairy tales. I'm not sitting here telling you that, you know, this man saw Adam, or that this one is this, like in the Quran. I'm not sitting here telling you fairy tales. I'm sitting here showing you substance. I'm sitting here showing you evidence. I say, for someone to be an atheist, it's the stupidest thing in the world. It's the most idiotic, stupidest thing in the world. It's impossible. Scientifically, you could prove that there's a creator from 1,000 different circumstances. And I met this girl one time. We were witnessing in Tel Aviv with a group over there. And this girl was an atheist, and she claimed she was a mathematician. And I said, well, let me just show you. Logically, then, I said, I was showing her about DNA, you know, and how DNA works, and the fact of, you know, 100,000 points to a cell, and there's 100,000 cells, that it's something like 100 trillion, billion, zillion to one, that all of that can come together without a creator. And she said, well, I'll take the one. I said, you'll take the one? You mean 100,000 zillion to one and you'll take the one? I said, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And you're telling me you have a doctorate. How stupid you are! And it shook her up. And she said, well, I said, you've taken all credence away. I don't even want to talk to you if you're that stupid. And she said, no. She said, to be honest with you, I'll go back and I'll read what you said. It really shook her up, because it is. It's a stupid statement like that.
That's the last time you were in Tel Aviv, I believe.
Last time in Tel Aviv. But when you think about it, really, I mean, we want to be logical. And like I said, our faith is built on evidence. We can show people from this word, from the Torah, that our belief is real and our belief is living. We can show them from the miracles in our life. We can show them, for example, from our attitude, that this is something real. We have something to give that nobody else has. So again, like I said, every one of us is handicapped in one degree or another by being in these bodies at this time. But I will guarantee you 100% by the word of Yahweh that when the kingdom comes, there will be no blind, there will be no crippled, there will be no lamed, that every one of us will be whole for eternity.